The new year is here, and it's the perfect time to kickstart your meditation practice. The Morning Meditation for Women podcast has short, daily guided meditations that will help you start your day with intention and focus, and make it so easy to get you into the habit. Imagine feeling so much more calm and confident in 2025. Follow and listen to Morning Meditation for Women on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good afternoon, St. Louis, DGS on KMOX. That was a weird little intro there. Michael Kelly doing the robot. And
yeah. Beastie Boys.
Yeah.
Wheels having no self-awareness.
Does that take you like...
Was
like,
it self-awareness or just not caring?
I think they're similar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Beastie Boys?
Huh?
Beastie Boys take you right back to high school?
Oh, yeah. That was entry level, man. Freshman year in high school.
Yeah.
Yep. Boom. That was the best. Love those guys. Brass Monkey. Love it.
Yeah.
Not the real thing, just
Paul
the
Revere.
Song. Paul Revere is the greatest.
Yeah. Isn't it weird all the lives we don't get to live? Right?
Yeah.
Like, I like the Beastie Boys.
Yeah.
I didn't, like, grow up with them.
Right.
It,
right.
It was past my time.
Right.
So, like, I didn't live that life.
Yeah.
No. Now, are you living any life that happened before you? Like, I know some people, like, I got a buddy that's into oldies. Like, he's into the Four Tops. And you're like, dude, what are you, like, 50?
Oh, yeah.
Listening to the Four Tops.
Sure. Yeah.
You got that life and another... Previous life,
like. That's kind of what Pajeski is.
Yeah,
totally.
He listens to all the 70s and 80s rock bands and all that stuff. Yeah,
I love Pajeski. I think that's why, because I'm an old soul. He's an old soul, even though
but you're like a Little House on the Prairie soul.
It's true.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
but he gets old movies. He gets old.
You're right. References. He does. He's big. He's big in the 70s, 80s.
I remember one time listening to you and Charlie. And you had the band leader for the Nelson Riddle band on. I was like, holy hell.
All I know.
The guy's been dead for 100 years.
Is Steve, our boss, at one point pulled me aside and said, I hired you to, you know, be the younger voice on the show, and I don't think I was successful. I think I was older. Yeah, that's okay.
Gotta be careful with that. Hire those old young people.
I guess. Well, the focus in life is always on, like, young people, right? Like,
yeah.
It's got to be depressing as we get older to realize that we're really not the target anymore.
Nobody
wants to deal with
it. But it's only because we allowed it.
Yeah.
Like, I wasn't the focus when I was a kid at all. I was lucky to make it in the car, you know? So, like, it just in one generation, we talk about this all the time, but from me to Phoebe, because Nick was raised pretty normal, but I was a complete afterthought, and Phoebe's been carried around on a silk pillow.
Right.
In one generation. Like, I get it if it happened over, like, 200 years. Just all at once.
Mm-hmm.
You know? From the 60s.
And we're also, like, we're all getting to an age where, like, we're no longer the target demographic for anything.
For much of anything.
Television, sports, music.
It's weird.
Yeah. I don't like it.
Yeah, whenever I get the show prep and it's like the top songs of 2024, and I'm like, I know two artists on this list of 20. Mm-hmm. And like even like TikTok and stuff, you're like, that's not for me, that's not for me, that's not for me. Closest thing I've had for me on TikTok lately is middle-aged women growing out the gray in their hair.
Yeah.
Like at least I could relate to that.
Michael had a great moment this morning. You sat down, you go, okay, you guys. Have you ever heard of Mr. Beast? He's like, I just found out about this guy.
Well, I did. I am just now getting into Mr. Beast. And Pajeski said to me, what are you, like 10? I was like, what?
Michael's eating a lunch leaf.
But I got caught up into it. I watched the Squid Games one last night. Mr. Beast?
I mean, yeah. I mean, his videos are fun.
Yeah.
He's kind of like not a great person from what I can tell. But
are you in on the Rizzler yet?
No, what's that?
Oh, boy.
Just look it up.
I apologize.
Yeah.
It's a little fat kid who's taken over the internet.
No.
Yeah.
Have you seen the guy who goes into parking lots of grocery stores and attacks people who don't put their
No, what's he? What does he call himself? I hate that guy so much. He's right, but he's still being a jerk. Have you seen this guy? He patrols the parking lots, and then when somebody doesn't put their cart away, he goes and gets it, and then he puts a sticker or a magnet on their car saying, I'm lazy, or something like that.
Wow.
It's not
and then
good.
When they get mad at him, he argues with them, and he ends up running away from
There's
most
no
of them.
Way that anything could possibly go wrong
no,
with that approach.
No, yeah, no.
Did you see we had one of those guys here at the parking garage?
Oh, my gosh.
You know, when you walk out and there's the two little spaces over here to your left.
Uh-huh.
One is handicap, disabled. The other is not.
Right.
And 3 days in a row, the person who, different people who parked in the not, someone put one of those stickers on their driver's side window. About this person parks in handicapped zones and he's a terrible person.
Man.
And,
well, good for them.
Well, now, it's not handicapped.
No, it's not
though.
Handicapped.
It's not a handicapped spot.
Not
handicapped. Yeah.
Oh, well, that's horrible.
Now,
I've been known because we work the holidays. You know, Hancock and I work the holidays. So we're here and I've parked in the reserved parking.
Sure.
For some people at times.
Yeah.
The biggest of the people.
You know, they're not going to be
just
here.
Like,
right. Well,
this is a day Hancock and Kelly is here. I'm parking in her spot.
Yeah. Becky and Steve's not going to be here.
You guys are the big shooters on those days.
Yeah, exactly. Hey,
you're Becky, he's Steve.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I got to say, though, like, I've always thought it was kind of funny if, you know, somebody parks in the handicap thing or they park really sucky over two spots and you put, like, a little business card on the window that says, you suck at parking, like that kind of thing. But don't put stickers on people's cars.
Right.
Don't do that because that's damage, right? I mean, like, I know you can get it off, but it's still a pain. And that's now, I will say, though, I don't know, maybe I feel differently about this for the whole handicap thing because I think that's pretty brutal, pretty awful. People parking in handicap spots that don't need to.
Exactly.
Yeah. Maybe you deserve the hassle of a sticker.
I don't mind it so much if they're really parked there.
Right. Just don't do it to the person who's legally parked.
Be a little more careful.
Right.
Then you go to some place like, I don't know, South Florida. Where literally the whole parking lot is handicapped spots, and they're full of handicapped people.
Yeah. No, it's legit.
I'm all for it.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, my parents live in a place that's like that. It's a retirement community, and you go to the grocery store, and there's a long row of them. Like, there's like two or three rows together, because obviously you got people that need it.
Speaking of getting older and needing some help, Wheels, are you in on the pit diapers?
The what?
Pit diapers.
What?
I don't know what that is.
You haven't seen pit viper diapers. They are mosh pit diapers for heavy metal listeners.
You can
Google them. You'll see a picture of them.
Yeah.
They're black leather.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. They're $75 a piece so that you can pee yourself while you're watching heavy metal.
No. That's stupid. Don't do that. There are breaks in between shows, man. You can do that. That's fine. I've been going into the pits for years. I've never once felt like, you know what? I just can't leave. Like, the shows aren't that long, right? You got an opening act that's maybe half an hour. The next one's maybe 40 minutes. There's plenty of time in between. There's like 20 and 30. You should be, just be empty when you start the show.
Is there anything you guys would wear a diaper for? New Year's, Times Square?
Oh, no.
No.
I'll probably be wearing one for life at some point in my life.
No, I mean, look, if that's necessary then, that's fine. But not for just like by choice.
No.
Not
by the way, when you used the word pit diaper, I thought, what, something for under your armpits?
Yeah,
I had no clue that it was to go.
That's
to
actually
concert.
A better idea.
Little diapers for
put
your
a little thing under there under your shirt so you don't sweat through your shirt. That's actually good thinking, Michael Kelly. Oh.
I don't think that's actually good.
I don't think
I don't know, man.
Either.
That might be good thinking. As a sweaty person, I think that might be good thinking.
I think they have them. I think they're like little pads, and they literally can go in your shirt. So that you don't sweat through like a jacket or a shirt or anything, because if you had to like dry clean whatever, a suit jacket, I guess, every time you wear it. But yeah, I think they have those, allegedly.
I have to Google.
Again with the older people stuff, I saw someone on TikTok, a Gen X person, saying, my generation's not going to go down like all the other generations. We're not going to turn 60 and be sitting on porches and blah, blah, blah. I was like, yeah, you are.
Oh, I can't wait.
I mean, it'll be a little different version because it'll be our version.
Right.
Right? I mean, like, our version is going to be...
You're not going to be pole vaulting when you're 80.
No, but I mean, our version is going to be sitting in the gaming chair playing Grand Theft Auto when you're 80. That's what I'm going to be doing.
Wow.
But that's just because what you did...
Wearing your pit diapers.
Yeah.
Pit diapers.
Oh, dude, that's when you need them.
Yeah.
You know, you get a brand new game and you don't want to get up for a while. Not now, I mean, when I'm 80.
What's Grandpa in the other room doing? Oh, he's just jacking cars and slapping people on the internet.
Peeing himself.
Peeing himself.
You know, like the previous generations, you grew up, you know, when you were spending time, you watched...
Do what you do.
Wheel of Fortune, and you watched Jeopardy and all that. Well, my generation's playing video games, so you think we're going to probably keep doing that.
I'm going to get up early and go to a diner like all the old men do. I love that. I've always wanted to be that. You know, you've been up since 4, so you may as well be at the diner at 6. Mm-hmm. Read the paper, drink some coffee.
I wonder if that's going to change.
I can't wait to be that. I hope not.
Like, for me, I mean, like, am I going to want to be up in the morning, or am I going to just wake up in the morning more?
I don't think you're the control.
Well, that's why I'm asking. Yeah, no, and I'm wondering, though, like, well, I know for me, getting up early will be, oh, my God, I'm up at 8:45.
Yeah.
That'll be early for me.
What?
You sleep till noon.
Usually, like, on a work day, usually, like, 9.
Really?
Yeah. Weekends, 10:30.
Your body won't automatically wake you up in the morning?
You didn't go to bed till like 2 or 3.
Yeah, I don't go to bed till like 2, 2:30.
So do you...
I go to bed when I know I'm going to fall asleep, yeah. But I've had night hours forever. Like, in my 20s, late 20s, I worked overnights for a long time. And then when you do sports, your life is at night. You know, I did all these years of Cardinals pre and post game. You're getting home at 12:15, 12:30. Well, you're not going right to bed.
Right.
And so you build, like, your body gets used to it. Plus, I'm a watcher. We learned that a long time ago.
There were people called the Night Watch, like thousands and thousands of years ago, who had to stay up and tend the fires and keep the saber-toothed tigers away. Mm-hmm. And they think that people like Kevin
have inherited
those genes.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a badass.
Yeah, you are.
I'm the person that was like, just put her out at the time of day where there's the least amount of threat because she's worthless. Like,
it's
2 okay.
p.m. getting me out there.
Yeah, she's fast. She can outrun some of them.
Amy told me today that you were made for like the Victorian age, essentially.
My sensibilities were, except I have no domestic or survival skills. So I need all of the luxuries of modernity. I can barely keep myself alive on a day-to-day basis. But I think my brain, my sensibilities are really old-timey.
You see her just walking around with gloves.
Like Little Women kind of vibe?
Yeah. Yeah, that's actually it to a T, 100%.
Let's go to the other parlor now for tea.
Oh my gosh, and your whole day is like, that's what I said, I would sit in the parlor, and you just stare at each other, maybe you write a letter, and you're like, Michael Kelly is visiting in the spring. Oh, because like they told time and months, basically, because you just never knew.
Nothing happened that day.
You didn't know when he would get there in the spring. Yeah, right. And a letter, it took a month to get there, like, oh, he's coming in March.
It'd be hard to flirt.
Yeah.
You know?
How like, did that happen?
She'll get this in 6 months and she's going to love it.
I like that pace. I wish I had a slower pace. I never, ever want to go back to COVID. I wish COVID never happened. But one thing that I remember fondly is that life was slower and I spent a lot more time with my family. We weren't rushing around all the time. I know parents who, you know, you can be rushing around to the point where you feel like your taxi service. And again, it's not an even trade-off. I'm just saying if you're trying to find a bright spot in a dark time, I did like the slower pace.
I don't feel like I had one because we worked every day.
Yeah. I did because I was unemployed.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Yeah, but like only part-time employed. I was employed like doing MLB Network radio, but it wasn't like full-time.
But there weren't events. You weren't going to events. You weren't going to games. You weren't going to parties.
Oh, there were no games.
There was nothing. There were no events to go to. So I'm not saying you couldn't do things, but the social aspect of it was gone for a while.
Were you guys freaked out during that time? Because, I mean, they had done such a good job scaring everybody that, oh, you shouldn't be around other people. And here you all are coming in here every day.
It was
were
weird.
You a little nervous?
Yeah, it was weird.
That, like, Rachel's going to kill me.
Well, I remember we were playing the DGS Olympics and filming it for content. And I bit my nails because I'm a nail biter. And then I handed a ball to Rachel.
Yeah.
And people went ape crap.
Yeah.
They're
you
like,
can't do
you
that.
Can't lick your fingers. Yeah. And then blah, blah, blah. It's like, off.
Right.
We didn't give it to each other. Well, I gave it to you.
Yeah, you gave it to the whole show.
Yeah,
you
gave it to
the
everybody.
Whole show.
Oh,
yeah.
Well. Yeah. Other than that, though.
An old lady gave it to me. I remember the second it happened. She
really?
Kissed me full on the lips.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I was hosting an event.
What kind of event?
You know. Pit diaper kind of event. And she was the one who hired me or, you know, booked me to do it. And she was coming at me and like, this is full on.
Oh, no.
It's probably a French kiss.
Oh.
Next day, I'm like, I feel weird and everything tastes salty. That wasn't even the COVID. That was just
Yeah, Dave's like, I hope this is COVID.
I knew that joke. She just had a lot of salt. She'd eaten a lot of sodium that day. I made her choke.
It's just some old lady you don't know that well. It's not like you guys are married. And
well,
she just
not that you know.
French kissed you. Maybe. Oh, maybe. With COVID.
Remember when you'd have to give grandma a kiss goodbye when you were a kid?
I never had to do
like,
that.
Oh, give grandma a kiss and it was always wet.
Oh! No! duh.
It was always wet. It was like you'd stick your head to the side and she'd give it to you, and it was just always wet. It was like
my grandparents didn't know my name. I mean, like, go give grandma a goodbye kiss. Like, what? She'd have been like, I'm fine. I'm fine, kid, whatever your name is.
I didn't mind the, like, the grandmas, you know, they were pretty low-key, but there were, like, the ones I hated the most would be, like, there are a couple of aunts that you don't see very often.
Yeah.
Like, you see them once a year.
Come
and
give
like,
me some sugar.
Come here, give
thing.
Me a kiss. I'm like, I don't even know you. Leave me alone. It's like, I know my grandma. You know, my grandma wants to give me a kiss on the cheek. That's fine. I know my grandma. She's the best. I don't even know your name. You're just some lady I see once a year.
We had the extended family, the Mark Scores side, you know.
Why'd you say it like that? You guys
Mark
all fancy?
The Mark Scores. No, Mark Scores, like, very German. And they didn't anglicize it when they came over. And these Germans, they were tough people, not known for kindness and affection, the Germans. And my great-grandmother, one of the first times we met her, and, I mean, I was a baby, so I don't remember it. My sister was two. And my mom, you know, like, you know, this is great-grandma. These are your great-grandchildren, Amy and Emily. And she goes, Amy and Emily? What the hell kind of names are those? Oh, my mom's like, and that was it. That was our interaction with great-grandma. I think she wasn't amused by her great-grandchildren.
Or anything, sounds like.
My theory is that grandma died happy. People like that, like, I just don't think they clock that they're being jerks.
I think they're unhappy. I think that has to come from unhappiness. Just to be like...
Just being German.
You know, just being German, yeah. What's the difference?
Right. Okay.
And how.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 126 on the dot. So we have the Google Doc where the guys put down their ideas for the show, and they're mostly pretty normal. And then I get to Andrew's every day. And his top one is, I only see my name associated with Nazi propaganda, so I get excited. And then I feel weird about it. Laugh out loud.
So, my name is German in origin. And what my name means in German, the direct translation of the word Stolz, is pride. So the word pride appears a lot during a certain period of Germany's history.
Right, early 30s.
And like, for example, just last night, I'm playing the new Indiana Jones video game where you assume the role of the titular Jones. Kevin's playing
pretty solid,
well.
Yeah. Pretty solid game.
And I'm wandering
around. A little
around,
easy, but...
And of course, who does Indiana Jones hate the most?
Nazis.
The
Nazis.
Yeah. Stolzes.
And so, well, so I'm wandering through the game world, and I come upon a fictional game-made Nazi propaganda poster that has my name in great big red letters. It says, Stolzgeschichte and Stolzgeschichte.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't speak a lot of German,
yeah,
really, just the one.
Like, I bet it doesn't sound like that.
It must be muscle memory the way you just...
Yeah, it's genetic.
Fell
it's
off your tongue.
It's a heritage. And so I looked it up. And so I looked it up, and it means something like proud history, proud future, or something like that. And this is not the first time this has happened. I remember my father being very excited to see the word Stolz pop up in the movie Inglourious Basterds. He was really into it. He thought it was really fun. He's like, look, it's our name. That's so great. It's our name. And my brother and I were like, Dad, like, keep looking at it. It's Nazi propaganda. He's like, well, you know. You gotta take the
wins.
Gotta
take your wins where you can.
Yeah, it's just cool. It's like, you know, when you're from, you know, Missouri, and you're watching CNN, and they say something about Missouri, and you're like, hey, it's us.
Is it?
Okay. That was a story.
Yeah. So I thought it was funny. I saw that, and I grabbed my wife. I was like, look, it's our name. She's like, it's our name. And she's like, what is that? It's like, I think this is Nazi propaganda.
When my brother worked on offshore drilling rigs, they were mostly owned by the Scots. And when they found out his name was Glover, they loved it. They said that about half the really old bars in Scotland have signs that say no Glovers.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Really?
Because we were hired as mercenaries, and they just didn't. They wanted nothing to do with
us. I just thought they didn't want any gloves.
134 DGS. You guys familiar with Fartcoin?
No.
What?
Haven't heard of this one.
It's up to $900 million in value. It's just going crazy. It's the craziest crypto right now. I think it was started as a joke. Like, let's just see what these idiots will buy. And now it's the biggest crypto out there called Fartcoin.
It's what funny. Made you think it started as a joke?
Yeah, it's funny to say. I think it may have started as a joke. Fartcoin.
Well, like the Hawktua didn't start as a joke. You know, that was a money-making enterprise.
Yeah. Doge was initially a joke.
These are all, like, eventually jokes, right?
I mean,
money's real.
Like you put I understand, but like you put your real money into Fartcoin today. In a month, what's your real money?
I've already converted all my money to Fartcoin.
This is the first crypto I would buy.
What if Kevin? What if we're the joke? No, it is. It's ridiculous. I don't know.
Like, I don't trust anything that is not. I understand the draw to it, right? It's not regulated. It's not. That's kind of the problem, right? Like, there's no guarantee it's going to stay worth anything. There's nothing behind it.
There's no there.
That's what I'm. This is why I don't understand why legitimate people. Oh, I shouldn't say this. I do understand why legitimate people like it, because they know that they could take advantage of people that are dumb enough to buy it, and then they'll find their way to make money off of that. And like, if it's not backed by anything, then it doesn't guarantee any value ever. You can say what you want about governments. They're backing the value and saying, this is worth $10. This is going to be worth $10 everywhere, all the time, moving forward. And it's backed by the fact that there's an authority that says it's worth this, as opposed to a company that could be like, well, we're bored. No more Fartcoin.
I think the attraction is that something that is backed by the government that's worth $10 today and $10 in 10 years is not exciting, whereas you could literally become an overnight millionaire with Fartcoin.
You could also buy stock.
Yeah, but it's not like that. You could buy penny stocks, but like when I played with crypto for 3 weeks, I went from zero to 10 grand in 2 weeks. Like it was just that fast. Like, and that's not even that fast.
Right. And like you said, because it's a joke, it's a flash in the pan, but it is, there's an element of gambling to it. A friend of mine bought Dogecoin as a joke. And she did not buy very much. It was not a lot of cash out of her pocket. She bought it as a joke because it was funny. And then it all blew up. And suddenly she had $60,000 in Dogecoin. And you can sell it. That's real money. It's not a way to build a savings. It's not an investment. It quite literally is gambling. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't sell it the next day, which she didn't, you lose all $60,000 and you have $100,000. And that's literally what happened. And so it's a form of gambling. And you can say the stock market is gambling, and I get it, but it's a different type.
It's also regulated.
It's regulated.
There are things you can and can't do. You know, like these things, I mean, how many scandals have we already seen of people manipulating the system when it comes to any kind of meme coin or anything like that? That's what the Hawktua coin's being accused of, right? The people involved are being accused of playing games with it, getting people to put their money in, and then you sell and bail and take your cash, and then when it drops off, everybody else is hosed. And it is gambling, by the way, which is why I get the attraction to it. What I don't get is why anybody thinks it's going to last. The concept will last, but will any one of them continue forever?
I mean, I think Bitcoin will be the last one standing. I think the government's going to go to an online coin.
Sure.
I mean, it's
and if it does, it makes more sense.
Imperial credits or whatever you want to call them.
Yeah.
Would you guys feel, or to what extent would you feel sheepish if you cashed in on Bitcoin, Fartcoin, Dogecoin, and you had $100 million, but it was all from just a gamble? Would you feel any worse?
No.
I'd feel okay. Nope.
Hey, there are a lot of really, really rich people out there who basically got lucky.
Well, it's not so much that. It's even just that if I bought it as a joke and I lucked out, it's just, it's funny and it's a joke. It's like winning the lottery. You're lucky if you win a lottery ticket. It's not that you committed a crime.
Now, I'll say this, though. There is part of it. Like, if you're winning, it means a lot of people are losing in some way, shape, or form.
It's nonsense. I mean, it's as ridiculous as the wheel they spend at the parish picnic. I mean, you know, it's just... It's trading of money. I mean, I often wonder, who are these people who are buying this? Like, and of course, I take it to politics, but I mean, President Trump's got a crypto coin. I mean, so do people really think this is a value? And I guess they do, but how many more pieces of evidence do they need that it's all nonsense? This Hawktua gal, I mean, she's in deep trouble. or people want one after her, and she was messed up to say, like, but America's sweetheart, right? Like, she'd become this, like, face of, and she's torched her whole relationship over a...
Do you guys think that, I'm just throwing this out there, because I think this sometimes, too. I'm not, like, sold on it. This is not an academic take. It's just sometimes I'm like, this is all nonsense. The whole economic thing is just made up. What grows eternally?
Right.
How is that even possible to have perpetual growth forever?
Innovation. That weed, my innovation friend. Creates.
But there's not more resources. We're not finding new sources of valuable metals. Yeah.
Those are a resource is a fossil fuel, precious metals. Yeah, that is a finite, ultimately, source of wealth. But with technologies, like Bitcoin didn't exist, right? And with innovation, there's a tech world, there's AI. There are so many things that didn't exist that innovation creates. And that's why wealth is created, because you come up with new ideas and you say, well, someone's got to lose. But they're not even commensurate, the loss to the wins. You can look at a lottery. Well, somebody lost, sure, but I lost $2 buying a ticket compared to someone who won $100 million. And when you even look at stocks and you look at wealth, as companies gain more value, like credit card companies or some type of Netflix stock, that wealth is growing. That's what innovation does. It creates
right,
new
but it's growing because we decided as human beings that was going to be our system. It's
well,
not. It's
sure,
not a natural process.
Are you mad about
just,
it?
No. I'm just saying it doesn't like the idea that everything just there's always going to be more seems at some point to not going to be true.
I mean,
this idea that why is a house now 500,000 that used to be 100,000? I get it. Mm-hmm. There's competition. I get it. But it's because all the prices go up. But I mean, does it really make sense that it's never going to stop going up?
Well, I would say this, we're not the apex of humanity. And Thomas Malthus thought with the industrial age, well, like nothing can possibly come after this. I mean, we're the industrial age. And he thought, well, the world's going to be overpopulated in 20 years. And hundreds of years went by because he couldn't comprehend the innovation, the creation, the new inventions, the new technology, the way we revolutionized agriculture, how humans survive. He couldn't comprehend all the advancement and development. And I would say now, there's going to continue to be new advancement and development. And yes, we need to care for resources. But I would say humans had to develop some type of system. And so far, currency has been a pretty darn good effective system.
You forgot right. Tom Malthus, didn't
but it,
you?
But it also, well, the thing is, it also used to be based on a material, and now it's not.
Sure.
It used to be backed by gold. Now it's just stuff we say is valuable. And now we're going to continue.
Well, gold's kind of like that.
No, I agree, and this is kind of my point. Everything in it is just made up.
There's an element of voluntary compliance from all humanity, and if it's working for people, and you're right, it's made up, it's an idea, that is kind of crazy. I think about that a lot. It's crazy. We've all decided to trust it, but because so much of the functioning of society depends on voluntary compliance and voluntary agreement from the people involved, that's just how societies work. If you don't have that, you have anarchy, and we don't have anarchy right now, and things are working for us as a country. That's why some very progressive viewpoints, like an Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, believes that the debt doesn't mean anything because it's just a number. So you can continually drive up the debt and provide for people and do what you need to do. Others say, well, at some point, we are going to have to deal with the debt we have. That's why it's such a big conversation, because people have a different idea of what debt means, because ultimately, it's an idea.
You know what I love about this show?
What's that?
I say fart coin.
Yeah. And all of that happens.
And all of that happens.
And that was some highbrow conversation.
Right?
I was sitting there thinking, I'm going to shut up because Amy just sounds like she knows what
she's dropping
about.
Knowledge.
Yeah.
She's just taking advantage of us not knowing anything.
Yeah, those
that
are made up names.
That could all be nonsense. Like Morpheus.
That guy doesn't even exist. Malthus.
I'm sure you remember Thomas Kincaid, the painter of light.
Yeah.
So big, wasn't he?
He was huge.
Kincaid?
He was very Malthusian.
Malthusian. Malthusian doom and gloom, as we call it.
Okay, at 140, I'm going to say fart coin. And Wheeler and Amy will take it from there.
You know what? Speaking of Thomas Kincaid, do you know who I saw at a, what was it, like some kind of, not a garage sale, but antique sale. Remember John Pills? The St. Louis posters? The John Pills posters?
Yeah, the Pills posters.
Those were everywhere.
Yeah.
That was huge. Thomas Kincaid, Mary Englebright, and John Pills owned the 90s.
Yeah. And the one guy with the black and white giant poster looking paintings with the severe red lipstick.
Oh.
You know who I mean.
I do.
Every 90s movie had one of those. I forget. I think I just had a preview into my Alzheimer's years where I'm just sitting here quietly. I'm like, Thomas Kincaid, the painter of light.
And you guys are throwing names out there. I'm like, I don't know. Anything.
What's my grandkid's name? Amy? I don't like that name.
Where'd you come up with a name like Amy? Oh, my gosh. Yeah, John Pills. Every business had a John Pills poster.
Well, I'm going to be Nagel. I think that was the guy's name. Who did those paintings?
Was he a one name?
Yeah, I think so. Like Prince.
It wasn't like Bob Nagel.
I think it was Thomas, but you know. Anywho. The music's really low.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
It's good though.
Doing my best.
Is that a you thing?
So what?
I don't know what the issue is. I'm
okay.
Sorry.
Fair enough.
I don't have a definitive answer.
I could feel his head in that way.
Just blame it on the board. Blame it on the board.
So we all go on vacation together. Who are my jet ski people and who are my hammock people?
Jet ski.
Jet ski.
Get out.
I've been on a jet ski one time and it was the most fun I've ever had in my life.
Great.
And I think about it every day.
Yeah.
How long ago was that?
That was 17-ish years ago?
Yeah.
18.
Because I've ridden one recently, and I would normally be in that category. And the next day, after an hour of riding a jet ski...
pretty tired?
I felt like I read a bull. Yeah. You know, a bucking bull.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That makes sense.
That's the fun of it.
Yeah.
Might not be the most comfortable now that I'm thinking
about
it.
Where are my hammock peeps? Nobody?
I think I might do a hammock. Like,
or just lay in there.
Oh,
can be at the pool, can be at the beach.
It depends.
Yeah, it depends on the trip.
Because I like to throw a football around or play paddleball on the beach is really fun. Like I am the adult who still says, "Do you want to go play?"
Yeah.
Like I like to play on the beach. Like I said, football, paddleball, anything like that.
Yes, are we lake? Are we doing lake or ocean?
No, we're doing like an all inclusive resort
on an ocean.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Here's what I like to do:
bodyboarding.
I like to lay
deal.
In one spot. Oh, and not move much. Mm. And then, like, once an hour, drag my ass up, get in the ocean, get wet, go lay down again.
Mm. Oh, I can't do that.
No. You need more
stuff.
Are
you at the same spot every day?
God,
like,
I
if you're
so.
There 3 days, you want to be at in the same general vicinity?
I would be fine with that.
I have friends like you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that could go out of town and go to the same restaurant every day because, you know, which is essentially what an all-inclusive is.
I did that one time. I went to New York for the very first time with my buddy who lived in Jersey, and we went down to the docks and went to this restaurant on the docks, and I met a girl. It didn't go anywhere, but we spent, you know, the evening talking and flirting. Next night, we went out again. Where do you think we went?
Yeah.
Same place.
Girl. Yeah.
Yeah. She wasn't there. But I was just like, this is where you meet women in New York. Well, this is stupid.
This
That's
is where
a
girl
whole
lives.
Different variable.
Yeah.
Girls cause you to do crazy things.
You throw that in there, it's true.
It's a whole different variable.
I remember my friend was so mad. He's like, dude, there are 50,000 bars in New York City.
New York City.
I'm like, yeah, but.
There's millions of them.
It's the only one with a girl
all over
who
the world.
To me.
She talked to me.
She talked to me.
And if she was there the next night, that's like almost a little concerning.
That's true.
Do you just come here every
for everyone
day?
Involved?
Yeah.
Like this guy who's visiting New York just came back again.
Yeah.
That's how you get restraining orders.
Mm.
That's how it happens.
I can do the hanging around for a little bit, but it can't be too long. Like going to the beach and sitting there for a little bit, that's fine. Like, but I got to do stuff too.
I think I like sitting here, and I think I lied because I love to would always play on the beach, but the thing is. We went, Mason Jar and I went to Florida, and we literally sat by the pool for 3 days. And I don't know if it's being older or being busier than when you were younger, right? And, like, you're a little bit more carefree. And I thought, oh, my gosh, I don't want to move. Like, I think life gets crazy. And so just the ability to sit in one spot, and I think we did that for, like, 3 days. And I didn't even think – it never occurred to me that we could because I was already planning, well, we can play tennis. We can go on an excursion. We can do all this stuff. We sat down and we would like raise our hands and the pool lady would come and bring you a drink. And we did that for 3 days. It was amazing. It was amazing.
I'm surprised you're such a goer.
Well, number one, I can't sit in the sun that long.
Yeah, same.
Turn into a lobster.
Yep.
And I've found now that even if I'm hiding in the shade, the sun still
finds you,
reflects up and gets me. So I don't mind doing stuff. I mean, yeah, I'm a little bit of both, but I would definitely be the. Now, what about the one where they pull you at the sail?
Parasailing. Boom, let's go.
That's awesome.
I've never done it, but
have
I would.
Have you ever had them drop you in the ocean?
No, but that sounds
the heck
fun.
Out of you. It's fun. It's
yeah.
fun.
See the guy that rode a Silver Dollar City roller coaster for the 10,000th time? 10,000 times on the same coaster.
That can't be wow. worth it.
It was to him.
How long did it take him?
Years, I guess. Yeah. He looks like a guy around my age or so.
Yeah, so
Does
let's
he
see.
Live there?
I don't know. But they were showing him, and he couldn't have looked more bored.
Yeah.
Like when he was, they were doing like the big fall, yeah. and he's just like yawn.
So rough speaking, that's like riding it 3 times a day for 10 years?
He's got to live there.
Yeah, must.
Yeah.
I've never been.
Yeah.
Let's go. You can make me pasta.
I'll go.